Once in a while you have a sad day. This past week we had one of those days with the news the passing of Diane Disney Miller. She was a person of distinction and opinion and the staunch protector of the legacy of her parents. Our thoughts and prayers go out to her friends and her family.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
You see your true colors shining through, those brilliant true colors glowing brightly inside you. So don't be afraid to let them through, and you'll see your true colors shining through.
Hello and welcome to show number 10 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to talk to Tom and his wife Christina, who are back from a trip down to Walt Disney World. As you remember, they went down for a number of days, stayed at a couple different resorts, and I'm sure went to every park at least twice. So we're going to find out all the information tonight. This is Ed.
This is Jimmy.
This is Farrell.
This would be Tom.
This is Christina.
And here we go. So, we can't wait. Tom, Christina, how was the trip?
Good. It's very much needed.
Awesome.
It was amazing. It was fun using the Magic Bands.
You guys were down there for quite a bit, for quite a good time, huh?
5th to the 16th.
Wow, that's excellent. A pretty long trip. Mm.
So now, you guys have been before, and Christina, we know you've been a lot more than Tom. Give us a number rating for this trip based on other trips. You know, the 1 to 10 rating. Just to kind of get a feel of how it went.
Because of all the things new, and you know, there's some things with the Magic Bands that kind of made me feel like a novice in some senses. I would say maybe a 7 or 8 for me.
I would say about an 8 as well. I think getting used to planning more with the Magic Bands is something definitely to get used to.
Well, that's going to be the biggest change for the rest of us, is trying to get used to those Magic Bands. Well, tell us about them. Let's just start right from there.
It was definitely nice to have everything all on your arm, especially making purchases. For example, one day I actually forgot our Key to the World card, so it was nice to be able to have the Magic Band on your wrist to be able to make purchases and things like that. But you definitely need to plan your day out more and make sure that you have your fast passes set ahead of time. One of the days that we had it set for the park, the My Disney Experience application was not working, so we weren't even able to switch our fast passes until later that day, and some of the rides were already taken at that point. So that's something, you know, useful when you're planning a trip to be able to plan everything kind of ahead of time. Long run, for those that don't like to walk here and there, it's a lot of different walking and planning out your time.
Well, when you mean by plan out the days, give us an example.
For example, we had, let's say, Hollywood Studios days. Normally, all of the shows are up until about 5:30 is the latest show at that park. So one thing that we needed to remember ahead of time is some of the more famous attractions, to possibly plan them maybe one during the day and then maybe two in the evening. Because, for example, the Lights, Mars, Cars, and Motor Show, it only goes at 1 o'clock and 4:30. So to plan your time around if you want to see that show. And then, for example, the Indiana Jones show and Beauty and the Beast show and the last show is at 5:30. So making sure that you can get all your shows in during the day and then in between that time going and riding on the rides that have your fast passes, and hitting some of the ones that you don't necessarily need fast passes for, like the animation drawing studio or maybe some of the characters. You get that early in the morning and then, you know, possibly plan Toy Story Mania in the morning and then do like the Rock and Roller Coaster Tower Terror in the evening. Then you'll be right around the area and then you can just line up for Fantasmic. That was something definitely that we learned on our second day there. We had to switch our fast times. However, one of the times Toy Story Mania was not available at all that day. And then I know with some of the testing, they're going to be setting some of the fast passes into categories. For example, with Epcot, like Mission in Space and Soaring are not in the same category. They're two different categories, so you can't pick them both. You have to pick one or the other. And I believe now they're starting that. I thought it was either rolled out this week or next week with different categories for the rides at Hollywood Studios.
Now, it sounds like it's getting a lot more difficult to follow. Did they have any type of pamphlets, or was it part of the check-in documentation that told you how to use any of this?
No, they didn't. That's one thing that would be helpful. Most of the cast members that we spoke with just said that everything is all testing phase, and it's new to them just as well as it's new to guests. So.
And I actually read something interesting today. Originally, when they came out with the My Magic Plus and all, they originally intended on having it launched completely and out of testing mode by the end of this year, but they've actually pushed that back indefinitely. So it's definitely the testing is still going to go into next year because a lot of the feedback they're getting from guests. And another thing interesting I read the other day, you were saying that you guys had forgotten your Key to the World card one day. As of the other day, at Pop Century, they just give you the Magic Band. They stopped issuing the Key to the World card, so you get the Magic Band only.
Yeah, I had heard that. However, you know, I know that there were some people who we were reading at check-in, for example, their Magic Band wasn't working on their Key to the World card. So it could be that maybe they're testing it resort by resort.
Yeah, definitely.
And I will say one thing also that was kind of neat. They'll never say this during the testing, but you can kind of double dip for fast passes right now. You can use your Magic Band to get your fast pass plus, and they can also use your hard copy ticket and your Key to the World card to also get the old style paper fast passes too. Disney will never admit to that, but we test it ourselves, and it does indeed work.
Excellent. Oh, wow. That was my next question to you. That's good to know, but you're right. It could end any day. That's just a simple code change.
I think the one that people should really get, if you do like Toy Story Mania at Hollywood Studios, is having that one stand out ahead of time. If not, take advantage of extra early magic hours and just stand in line. We saw people, we were there right at the clock when the park opened at 9 o'clock, so we used the extra magic hours.
The line for the fast passes was longer than the line to get on the ride.
Before we get off of fast passes, I just had one final question. I've heard a couple different places reporting that there's a real lack of fast passes. Now, from what you just said, it kind of sounds like that might be the case.
For Soaring, definitely, and for Toy Story Mania.
Now, when you say Soaring and Toy Story Mania, does that mean if I got through a rope drop and went right to the attraction, would I get a fast pass, or is it just more like 10, 11 o'clock down the road not getting it?
Not necessarily. I mean, the day that we were there, like I said, we were there at 8 o'clock for the early extra magic hour. At 9:30, the fast passes were gone for the remainder of the day, not just...
Yeah.
Wow.
But the day they were already gone.
That's
things that they're testing now, like... they were telling us when we were down there is that with the FastPass Plus system, they're trying to change it like they did with the Epcot options so that you're not going to get, for example, you wouldn't see Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Tower of Terror in the same category. You might have Toy Story Mania in one category with like Rock and Roller Coaster, and then you have to choose from a separate category for another attraction.
So they've almost got it like A through E tickets, basically.
I was just about to say the same exact thing. It's like we're now tiering the rides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they were in Epcot. So.
Yeah, at Epcot, they had Soaring and Mission in Space and Test Track, and you couldn't choose for one of the options. You had to choose from between one of those rides, and then had to choose something else, like the Living in the Land, which nobody's gonna pick. So,
hey,
right. I we ride Living with the Land every time, but you certainly don't need a pet. It'd be a waste of a pet, that's for sure.
Right. And surprisingly, people were getting them mostly for souvenirs, what the cast members were saying, because they're getting paper ones completely.
Right. It's neat.
Okay, so let's talk about the two hotels. Remind us again where you stayed and kind of give us an update or review about how it went.
We started off at French Quarter, Port Orleans. Our first time staying there. It was nice. It's very much a smaller scale resort, which we liked. We were on Building 4, which is right by the buses. I mean, we literally got off the elevator and turned, and the buses were right there.
That's nice.
Walk a little bit the other direction and down maybe a block is the pool and the lobby and the restaurant. It was very, the laundry, very, everything really, really easily. And that's what we loved about it, is that there wasn't a lot of walking involved to get anywhere.
Tom, let me ask you, how would you compare it to, I know Port Orleans Riverside. I know you told me you guys have stayed there before. How would you compare the two?
Well, to me, they're almost kind of two different beasts. I think Riverside's got the better, like, food court with entertainment area, with the River Roost, with Yeehaw Bob. It's more lively in that sense. It's got more activities such as the fishing hole and the bikes and the carriage ride. So it's got more activities and with all the private pools. But there's so much more walking involved to get to point A to point B. So just kind of have to kind of weigh what is important to you. Do you want kind of a quaint, intimate setting like French Quarter gives you, or do you want all the extra amenities and activities that Riverside gives you?
French Quarter definitely had kind of more of an adult feel besides scales. I do like, however, on the Riverside, you have more than an option of more than one pool. French Quarter, their pool, they're very strict about closing at 11 o'clock now. And so that's one thing that if you want to come and swim when you're done with the parks, you have to go all the way through Riverside. And one thing that they don't tell you is that transportation stops as well, too. So you have to walk.
They started that when we were there in October with the pool, all of the main pools at all of the resorts, they pull the lifeguards at 11 o'clock and no one's allowed to swim. But they said that it didn't affect the quiet pools.
Right.
Yeah, because those aren't, they don't have lifeguards at those at any point in time. So.
No, we're told that all of them are going to have rules, including the quiet pools, and they are all going to be gated. And I think that was just due to the incident that had happened at Art of Animation, but they're definitely starting off one resort at a time by gating all the pools, but nothing's been 100% confirmed on that yet. But definitely, I like the feel of both sides. It's just French Quarter seemed kind of more like an adult theme, especially at night, just quiet, more quaint, and kind of played more upbeat music, and Yeehaw Bob is kind of more family-friendly. So that's one of the main differences between the two sides of Port Orleans.
So are those the two resorts that y'all stayed at? The Riverside and the French Quarter?
We stayed at Animal Kingdom Jumbo Side.
Oh, that's nice. Cool.
When we got there, they upgraded us to a Savannah view for our anniversary.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yay.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay, so, well, the big question is, did you see any animals?
We did. We saw the newborn zebra. That was right outside of our house. Mostly on our sides were ostriches and cranes, but if you just went out and down a little bit were the giraffes, and then a lot of the wildebeest. But yeah, a ton of animals.
Did you guys, and I've heard of this, and I've never been there, but I've heard that at nighttime you can go out there and they have like night vision goggles that you can go view all the animals, and it's something that they don't even charge you for. So it's kind of one of those,
right?
One of those little free attractions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have s'mores, and they even have educational. I mean, all throughout the day. That's one thing that's nice is I could easily set up a homework plan for my son since he was out of school. And they have different educational teachings all throughout the day at the resort, which is really nice. And they even have different tours within the resort that you can do, and you just have to ask one of the cast members to do that. But in the evening, they have storytelling time around the fire pit, as well as the night vision goggles, and then the roasted marshmallows that you can do.
Very cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, and I do like, they kind of have two hot tubs, and one is more hidden. There was nobody that was ever there because it's a little off to the side, not to where the main hot tub was. So that was nice to be able to relax and just see animals around, and the lights was really pretty in the evening. So
that's really cool, because we stayed at Port Orleans Riverside a few times, and I remember the hot tub was always just like full of kids.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a time you could just go sit in the hot tub and relax.
Definitely something that was different between the two resorts is that Animal Kingdom, it is more spread out, and the pool is bigger as well. It's just spread out a little bit better, but both of their hot tubs are bigger than Port Orleans and at French Quarter. So that's one thing that's really nice. You could fit, I would say, with the one hot tub, you could fit a good probably 15 people.
Wow.
And the other one probably about 10 comfortably.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was one thing that's really nice. And we jumped right in the pool, and the lifeguards were wearing jackets and pants. So
that's what I was going to ask you, was how cold was it?
It wasn't the warmest. It's, I mean, considering us coming from Minnesota, it was beautiful, but
there's only one day that we actually needed to wear a sweatshirt. The rest we were in t-shirts and shorts and walking around just fine, and most of the days it was nice swimming weather for us. Now somebody probably from Florida probably
I was just thinking, as far as that, the perfect touring temperature for me is about 65. Still wear a pair of shorts. If I have to wear a sweatshirt, that's okay. I'd rather have that than 90s and sweating and all that other junk.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
I mean, it was nice. I mean, even the day of the Christmas party, you know, we were wearing shorts and t-shirts. The second day, it was raining, so they canceled the second parade, and then they canceled the castle show for the Christmas party on the second day. So
yeah, we went to the Christmas party twice. So the first day we had to see everything, the second day was not the greatest of weather the second time. So.
And they don't do anything as far as compensation for that, do they?
They don't. It says right on the ticket.
That's a shame.
They can't control the weather. In the second parade, the first parade, due to the weather, they didn't have the rollerbladers or the skiers out because they said that the choreographer said that they would get injured just because of the rain. So it was also nice to see. The second time that we watched the Christmas party, we honestly had perfectly good seats. We were right by the Main Street Firehouse and just sat on the curb there. And the dancers and all the performers, they performed full out until they couldn't be seen anymore. So it was great.
Awesome. And you started talking about the park, so let's keep going with that. I'd say let's go park by park and give us some highlights maybe from each park.
Well, it was nice. Magic Kingdom was awesome because they gave us VIP seats for the parade. And we didn't find out until after we were sitting next to Holly Madison from The Girl Next Door.
Oh!
I saw her show. When she had her show, they showed like her house, and her house is decorated Disney. Like,
yeah,
she's got like
huge
the Cinderella. Yeah,
fan.
She's got like the Cinderella bed, and her whole house is decorated all Disney. So
yeah,
she's a huge
I follow her on Facebook, and I saw her pictures of her down there with her little
right.
baby.
Oh, did you see Christina sitting next to her for the parade?
What was funny is I recognized her husband, but I didn't recognize her straight away. I mean, she had a sweatshirt and a baseball cap on, and I probably wouldn't have picked her out right away anyway. But my son was dressed as Peter Pan that day, and so everybody was walking up to him and saying, "Can we get your picture? Get his picture?" And of course, he was hamming it up and throwing out pixie dust to people, and he loved it. So she was like, "He's so cute. Can we get pictures?" I'm like, "Sure." Yeah. So, and I didn't know at the time, that it was them, but
it's funny.
That's cool.
It's just awesome. Sitting in the VIP area.
All the guys are like, "Oh, Holly, you're so cute. Can we get pictures?"
She was actually staying at the same resort as us, so they actually sat two tables over from her at Boma as well.
Right.
So. Oh, wow.
As well as George Clooney was there, and the guy from House. So.
Hugh Laurie.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, wow.
Where was the VIP center or area?
Where is it? It's right, if you're looking at the castle, it's directly to the left-hand side.
The bridge between Liberty Square and the pub.
Yeah, right next to the Christmas shop.
Nice. Now, how'd you get those tickets? Or how'd you get the invitation to sit over there again?
One of the cast members said happy anniversary to us and saw that my son had a birthday button and Tom had a birthday button. So he's like, they asked us to be one of the VIP seats. We've had them before, but for, different reasons, mostly when my uncle was treasurer, so we had known about them. But occasionally they'll ask people if they want to sit by there and stuff, so.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was nice not to have to sit on the ground, but normally we really don't have an issue as much because we always go to the second parade, the 10:30 parade, because everybody sits. And it's just so squished for the first parade, and then they watch Wishes afterwards. But if you watch Wishes first, and then we usually head over to Pecosville, and we just pull up some chairs and sit down and watch the parade, there's nobody ever there. Mm-hmm. And stuff at that end versus Main Street, it's busier. So,
yeah, that's a great tip.
Yeah, that is.
One thing we learned too was we had reservations later at Chef Mickey's. But it was one of the best experiences ever because, the restaurant, we were there till it was almost ready to close, and it was actually ended up being the best thing. And their server said, "Oh yeah, if you have reservations within, the characters, they talk to you more." So we had Goofy came up and sat right next to us and just sat down where before, they just take a picture and then move on to the next guest. Well, it was so funny because my son said, to Minnie Mouse, she said, "Minnie, are you married?" And she shakes her head, "No," and stuff, and looked like she was watching. And then my kid said, "Well, it's been 85 years already. What's up with that?" And funniest thing ever, because she busted out dancing to Beyonce's Put a Ring on It. It was the funniest thing.
Oh, my goodness. That is awesome.
So funny. Mickey comes over then and he starts dancing with her. Goofy is sitting down. I said, "Goofy, sit down, have a cocktail with us." He shakes his head no and grabs my son's Shirley Chef. And then Pluto comes over and starts hanging out, and then Donald Duck comes up behind and pulls his tail, and then Mindy comes in between and stuff. I mean, we had the whole game.
Oh, that was awesome. A great memory. Oh, wow.
That's fantastic.
A great Disney moment.
I mean, it was incredible. I mean, they sat with us for a good, I would say good 10, 15 minutes just sitting and talking because
that's
we were
awesome.
Out the last group and we were right by the door where they go and leave and stuff. So it was really great.
Yeah.
And talk to them.
Another thing that was kind of cool about Magic Kingdom is that we kind of ended up having like our own private photographer for like a half an hour. There's this, Puerto Rican photographer, I think his name is Visitation, and great guy. He saw that we had buttons on, he was dressed as Peter Pan. He's Peter Pan, he just literally just escorted us all over Main Street to the castle, just taking pictures just for us in a lot of different situations, like with characters, because the street party was going on. So he had like, hey, Peter Pan, go next to Mr. Incredible, and we took, you know, casual pictures there. He's like, Peter Pan, come follow me, come follow me. It is one thing after another. We literally had our own private photographer at least 30, 45
minutes. Yeah, it was a good half hour. He walked us all on Main Street and had us take different poses and pictures that we wouldn't have even really thought about. And he had Xavier be the MVP of Casey's Corner, which I didn't even know that they did that.
But, what does that entail?
He got to open up the restaurant by throwing the ceremonial first pitch. And,
oh yeah,
wow.
That's cool.
And,
I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that.
Then he got free Cracker Jacks and a free bag of cotton candy, and then we got a coupon for a free meat by 10 of any picture we had in our photo pass. So.
Very cool.
That is awesome.
I had never even heard of that before.
You know, that's a cast member that people that barely ever talk about is the photography people. And there is sometimes when you get a really good one, putting in those weird poses and surprise faces, and there's that whole thread of pictures where they have you hold your hand up, and then afterwards they put a fairy on their finger, like Tinkerbell on your hand, and stuff like that. But they have to set it up, so to them to go the extra couple of yards to do that is great.
The visitation was absolutely phenomenal. He was unbelievable.
And we had made ahead of time. We have business cards that we hand out. And it just says, thank you for creating a magical experience. And if they have, like, the legacy, we have a business card for that. And so it was neat because, you know, the day that we were there, the CEO, Bob Iger, was right, like, a few feet away from us. And stuff, and the night before, they were there for a week because the CEOs and all the big Disney executives, of course, there for Michelle Obama being there, but in addition, they happened to have a retreat that weekend. And so, you know, one night they were all at the Flying Fish Cafe having lunch. The other day they were at Epcot riding bikes. So, and then next morning we're there for rope drop, and I just looked at some of them, and they just kind of nodded their head like, "Yes, it's us." And so it was pretty neat. I felt like this. And forget Holly Madison, these people are cool.
Yeah.
And so seeing all of the, and it was like legacy after legacy, and we had a vote going on to find how many legacy winners that we could get. And I think in one day we had 7, which is, you don't plan that many in one day and stuff. So that was neat to experience and find that too. So
now real quick, explain a legacy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Oh, okay, so a legacy is a special award that a cast member earns in their lifetime. And Disney goes all out for them. They even get a special plaque. It used to be almost like an Oscar award type thing, and now I believe it's a plaque that they get with a picture of Walt on it. But it's cast members voting other cast members for the best employee of like their section or whatever their dream. But Disney gives them a big dinner and everything. It's a very high honor award.
Wow.
You'll notice them because their name tags are different. They're blue. So you can always tell a legacy winner by the color of their name tag.
If I'm not mistaken, Yeehaw Bob just got his legacy status.
Yeah, he did about a year ago.
Yeah, I remember seeing some pictures of him with the plaque and all that.
Yeah, it's definitely considered like a high honor award, and you're definitely recognized by the Disney company. So it's a huge honor and well-deserved award that they get for doing a pretty much above and beyond job. Like, I can definitely see Visitation, you know, having one within the next year or so, just for their outstanding jobs that they do. So you see them anywhere from, like, you know, we saw a custodial worker, and I was in the bathroom, walked up to her, and we gave her a business card that said, "Thanks for creating a magical experience." And then we went, we were outside by Magic Kingdom, by the Crystal Palace, and we saw a very elderly man, and we gave him one. He said, "This is for me." I said, "Yeah." I said, "You keep the parks clean. We appreciate it." And he started crying, and so.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
It was really special, and it just kind of goes to show that some of those kind of people are overlooked, and so kind of like a tradition that we have on our trip is that we enjoy passing them out, and we'll kind of look between, like, you know, like you said, we handed out a ton to the custodians and some of the jobs that people kind of overlook, and just to see their response and see how much it brightened up our day, made our vacation even much, you know, even more, you know, more so better. And one of the things that happened to us at Animal Kingdom was we noticed that there was a bench missing in the Lion King show. And I just thought, well, that was, you know, strange. And we were sitting there, there's one gentleman, and he was just sitting by himself. And of course I said hi, and then he ended up asking one of the cast members if he could sit up. And it said reserved seating. It was very, very, in the very front row in the Warhawk section. And it ended up to be that they go sometimes 3 times a week to the show. And him and his wife did, and his wife had recently passed away, and the Lion King cast, they named the bench after him. So that was really special. And just seeing the interaction that, you know, the cast members really do care and go, you know, above and beyond to make people feel special and make people feel at home and welcome.
And I don't know if you said or not. Did they move the Festival of Lion King yet, or is it still in the same place?
I hope it's still in the same place in a couple of weeks.
I know they're supposed to be moving it.
Half of them will be out of the job. And if they are Disney employees, they'll find them something to do within that 6 months, time period. So it just depends if they're an employee of Disney or if they're contracted.
So if they're moving the attraction, how do people lose the jobs? Is it a smaller venue and they're only doing less shows? Or
no, because some of the entertainment department, it works differently. Some of them are contracted and they're union employees. They're not actually employees of Disney. However, they work at Disney, but their pay is higher. And then if you're a Disney employee, you're through Disney, so no matter what would happen to their attraction then, you're still guaranteed a job. Versus if you're contracted, you most likely are through the active equity. And so your pay would be different because your agent would be negotiating your contract and working through Disney, but not for Disney.
Wow. That's something I never knew, that they had contract workers at Disney.
Well, I'll say one thing that's contracted are the stormtroopers in Hollywood Studios. Those are not Disney employees. The stormtroopers.
Are they members of that
501st?
The 501st, yeah.
We saw them up at Dulles Airport. The Smithsonian Institute has a museum out there with a big hangar. They had the Halloween show set up, and they had an entire Star Wars section, and the 501st was there in force.
Yeah, I saw them at Comic-Con in New Orleans last December, so that's how I knew about them. Huh, I didn't realize it was the same group that was over there in Disney.
Yeah, I mean, they have different, like, I know that, for example, the Lion King contractors and, like, Beauty and the Beast contractors are separate. And, like, for example, a parade performer is different than somebody that would work Beauty and the Beast. So, like, if you're a stage performer, you actually have to audition for your job every year, so you're not guaranteed your job. You're contracted for a year through Disney, and then you have to re-audition again. So I know that one of my favorites, he filled in as a prince, and was one of the tallest folks for Beauty and the Beast. And after 14 years, they had said that he didn't look young anymore. So now he's just and fills in once in a while.
Even a star quarterback has a day.
Yeah.
But
still a shame. Well, I tell you what, we're over, we were talking about Animal Kingdom and the Lion King. Let's stay at Animal Kingdom and give me something else that maybe stuck out on this trip from the Animal Kingdom.
Well, we saw the Nemo show for the first time. I loved that.
Yeah, it is really good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. A lot of the what I was worried about that I wouldn't like about it didn't make a difference. I was worried about seeing the humans move the puppets was going to just ruin it for me. It really didn't.
Oh, it's incredible. And to me, the most touching part of the entire play or show is at the end when they lower the puppets and actually the actors take a bow because they just are incredible in that.
And the voices were spot on. Oh, I mean, they sounded like exactly like the real characters. And I thought was like amazing. The guy who played Marlon's voice was exactly like Marlon's voice. You know, it's not the same guy playing the part. And that's what I thought was incredible.
Yeah, and what was funny too at the end, the purrs, instead of going mine, 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 they were like mine, 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 bye, bye, bye. That was pretty cute. You could see the tech guy in the laugh when they were switched it over and people were noticing it. So that was. You could tell that they're starting construction for Avatar Land. So that
yay!
Was cool to see. Once that was done, I was hoping to run into Joe Rohde again, but they said that he was still not back from being out of state. So. He ran into him last time, and that was an amazing experience to meet him and be able to have time to talk to him. So
yeah, unfortunately, they went to Animal Kingdom. It was also the coldest day of the entire trip. I think the high was barely 60 on that day. So yeah. It was rainy and dreary. So it was kind of cruddy weather that day. So
but the better side was to ride Mount Everest over and over again. The wait time was only 10 minutes.
It seems that park is always, I don't know, it seems like every time I go, it's either really, really hot or really, really cold.
Yeah.
I've never been to Animal Kingdom when it was just kind of comfortable.
Yes. That is the truth.
In the summer, it feels hot and humid. Oh, God, it's terrible.
Interesting to see, like, once they have the nighttime festivities there, if they're going to put any type of air conditioning during the day or what they're going to do, but... I think that's one of the reasons why it's so hot is that versus all the other parks, it's the only park that doesn't have air conditioning.
Other than Nemo.
Other than Nemo.
Yeah, and you know, probably a lot has to do with just how wooded it is. And it just, you know, there's a lot of water there, so it's probably just more humid.
Yep.
So it probably feels a lot, you know, a lot more extreme than it actually is.
Yeah, they have installed a lot of lights too if they're going to do some nighttime stuff. There's like not light poles to be found in that entire place.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure some of the Avatar pieces will definitely take up some of that, and then with the rides being open.
Well, they're going to have to make a night for Avatar, because, you know, the movie Avatar, all that fluorescent colors and vibrant colors are all in a dark setting, so it's not going to work very well as an outdoor thing. So.
Yeah, no,
in the daytime.
That'll be definitely an inside, just because you're right. If you can only do it at night, it's not worth it. Right.
Well, I heard they're going to turn the Tree of Life into... At night, it's going to be the Avatar.
I don't know if you guys saw during the Fantasyland opening, they had the dragon.
Oh, that was great.
That was flying around. So I'm wondering if maybe they bring that as part of the Avatar.
As the Banshees or whatever they're called.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised we haven't seen that again in any way or place.
Yeah.
That was like a one-time deal.
Right. Well, what we were told originally was that it was supposed to be a part of Avatar, but it got leaked early. So I think they just used it as part of the Fantasyland opening since people had already seen it.
Right. Yeah, the YouTube video of that was pretty incredible.
Right. There's one really YouTube video that is done by a gentleman and just the first time, and I believe they were staying at BLA Towers. And that dragon just went boom, right next to their window. So if you pick up the dragon flying, you see that YouTube video. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to look for that one. Okay, so let's move on to Hollywood Studios. Did you spend a lot of time there, or anything stick out as far as...
2 days. Two and a half days.
2.5 days we spent there.
Nice.
So I do like the fact that, for example, they say the park closes at 8 o'clock. There's one park that I wish that would actually stay till 10. I mean, it's one park that you could... be there till 1 o'clock in the morning because there's so much to do and so much to see. It's almost impossible to get it done in one day unless you want to run a marathon here and there, especially with the new, you know.
Yes,
pass.
Marathon. A marathon.
Pretty much. Absolutely.
We were talking about when would be the best time for me to go when there's a marathon earlier, so.
Yeah. So.
Well, there was a lot of wine and dine runners there that there's the medals all over the place. Right.
Yeah. That's what we came up with, that next November. I need to go for wine and dine marathon.
It was awesome. I mean, I like the fact that it says the park closes at 8 o'clock, but then they have it was either 8 or 8:30 Fantasmic showing. So you never have to worry about standing in the really long line because everybody thinks the park is closing, so they're leaving. And then there's still one more show of Fantasmic. So it gives you a little bit more time to get those extra rides in that you want to fit in. And especially for a Rock and Roller Coaster Tower of Terror, because 80% of the people are leaving the park for the day, so... it's nice to be able to get in those rides without a long wait time.
And those rides are fun, or more fun at night, in my opinion, to begin with.
Right.
At least Tower Terror, I think, is fun at night.
Oh, right. Yeah, I totally agree.
Definitely.
Any of those dark rides at night, what's the roller coaster over at Magic Kingdom? Big Thunder.
Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, because your eyes don't need to adjust, and you can see so much more. I think it's very, very cool at night.
Completely, it's almost like a different attraction.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. One neat thing that we encountered on Rock and Roller Coaster was there was two women that were celebrating their 80th and 80th birthday, and one girl had a T-shirt that said "Mistletoe not required." And I said, "I go, have you guys been on this ride before?" "Oh no." I'm like, "Well, do you know about a roller coaster?" And she's like, "Yeah, we like roller coasters." And I said, "Hey," I said, "you might want to take out your hearing aids. They sing pretty loudly." "Oh, okay." And they take them out, and then afterwards, I said, "What do you guys think of one lady love the other one?" I was like, "Never again, she." And then he said, "Thanks for the hearing aid tip." It was really cute. We could take that picture. And they said, "Facebook." And stuff. So, they were just a lively bunch, and it was one thing they said to Tom. I said, "I hope when we're 80, we're still alive and full of life, like a little kid again, riding roller coasters." That was pretty special to see. So
that's pretty awesome.
Aww.
Yeah. So
okay.
It sounds like y'all had tons of great Disney moments, really great Disney moments, stuff that normally you're lucky if you get one, in your trip.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I think the only thing we missed was I was trying to find... My uncle is a Disney legend, and so I had heard somewhere that his name is on Main Street somewhere, and so we were trying to find it and stuff, and that was one thing. It's the next trip that will be my goal.
As in one of the windows on Main Street, or somewhere else?
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be on one of the windows on Main Street.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so one more park left, and that is Epcot. How was your time at Epcot?
Well, me and Christina were there, just the two of us, for two of the days. And so one of our 2 days was at Epcot, and then we went with the whole crew on another day. So we were there twice. Got through this honeymoon almost by stopping at the Mexico Pavilion and having a bite to eat. But the tostadas appetizer at that indoor Mexican restaurant were phenomenal. The San Angel, where I pronounce that, the inn one?
San Angel inn?
The one inside
the pavilion, yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had the quick appetizer there. It was good. We did, attractions were, typical. They had the princesses from Frozen out in the Norway pavilion.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, they're really pushing that movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen the test track before, the new test track?
No, this is the first time. But now I loved how they reimagined that.
Yeah.
It's not boring, watching crash test dummies getting hit by 100-pound logs and stuff like that. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought they did a really good job redoing that ride.
Right. I agree. The pre-show is incredible compared to what it was. What'd you think of the ride itself, though?
It's not a lot different. I think it's more modern looking, mm-hmm. and that, you know, it kind of ranks the cars made within the cars. Who's better at this? Who's better at that? I thought that was kind of cool. A lot more black lighting effects. But you know, the track itself, you know, is exactly the same. But it's not. It just doesn't feel like you're that proverbial crash test dummy that the old version had.
It doesn't feel as you're jerking around as much. So that part was nice. For some reason, I felt like they smoothed that out a little bit. But it was definitely neat to be able to put your magic band up and be able to see your car that you made and see how it did throughout the remainder of the ride.
It was kind of neat to see how ridiculous you can make your cars look like. We designed it literally look like a hot rod Cinderella smart car.
Yeah.
Now, how dorky can we make this car?
What'd you think of the post-show area then? Because that's a big area to use the bands, I would think.
The which part?
The post-show
after the ride?
Racer cars, yeah, that was really
cool.
That
was cool, yeah.
Did you see the area where you can make your own commercial for your car also?
That was kind of over on the side, I believe. We didn't stay there that long. We did enough where they did the racing of your own car.
All the rankings of like the best car of the day and that kind of stuff.
Very cool. Now, did you, one quick thing about Test Track that I just wanted to say so everybody kind of hears this one. It's a good tip in that if you go in the fast pass line or if you go in the single rider line, you kind of go through the pre part of the show pretty fast. And you don't have time to really design your car, so you get a standard car they give you. One of the things we found out was if you go into the post show, you basically go backwards through the store into the area, you can create your car in the post-show area, save it to your magic band or your card, your annual pass, and then go on the fast pass line when your fast pass comes due. So you don't design a car. You have the car you made yourself anyway, and you can take as much time as you really want to design it. We did that a couple times because the first time I went through fast pass, we were like, oh, no. We were bummed out we couldn't design one. Anyway,
that's a good tip.
Sorry to cut that off, but
no, yeah. that's actually an excellent tip. And I think I had mentioned when we got back from our trip in October, I really enjoyed the new Test Track, but I think they definitely missed a Tron tie-in.
Yeah.
Because it was almost Tron-like. I mean, they could have themed it to Tron. It'd been really cool.
And I love Tron.
Me too.
Later on.
Me too.
So you're driving across the grid, basically?
Yes.
One thing that we noticed, we had reservations for Illuminations in England at the Rose Covent Garden. So we just asked later on. We made it for the evening so we could have viewing of the fireworks. Because the VIP viewing is in England and then over in Italy. And instead of having to pay for like the dessert party or a lot of times though, there's so many different VIP areas for the Illuminations, but a lot of people don't know is the same area is the Rose Covent Garden. You don't even need to have reservations or be on the VIP list to be able to watch it there. So we just asked if we could sit out in the patio, so we waited for patio people, but the restaurant closes. We have extra magic hours. The restaurant closes and they let people in anyway to sit down and watch. So.
Neat.
So that's kind of a helpful tip for those that like that show and want to be able to sit down and watch it and have a really great seat. Mm-hmm. With hardly anybody in the restaurant. We just sat. It was really peaceful watching the fireworks display.
So that brings up of course, I have to ask my question. Most important question that I always want to ask is food. Food. What good food did you eat? I always want to know what you ate and any new restaurants you ate at. Or
Tom definitely loved the crab crackers in Japan. No, we tried.
They were horrible. They were horrible.
And we saw ones that had sardines with eyeballs, and I said, "The lady, no, but I'm good." So we decided to venture out and try. Crabs because we had had heard about it on a different podcast, and it just happened to be, but some of them had filling in it, and some did not. The ones that had filling was good, and the ones that did not have the filling were awful. And the ones, they're in a bag, so every time you grab one, you know, it's a 50-50 chance that you get it. And Tom kept picking the one without the filling. And so it was kind of
tough. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
It was pretty funny. So, but he did samples, you know, some of the food and wine. And that was really good. And Tom had his first Dole Whip.
First Dole Whip.
What'd you
think? It won't be the last. I'll tell you that. It will not be the last.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those things are so good.
Yeah, they definitely are. And I like it. Over the Polynesian Resort, you can make your own.
I know. It's nice over there. Yes. It's nice for that.
I found that out in one of our last shows, and believe me, I will be taking advantage of that.
For sit-downs, we had some. We ate a beer guest. That was really, really good. I had the ratatouille. The desserts were great. I have
yes.
The cupcakes.
Yeah, I also got a free gray stuff for my birthday, so I got a free second dessert there.
A real quick tip, and our waiter told us this when we were there, is that they're told now they can only bring the gray stuff out for occasions. So if they ask you if you have any occasions going on, it's okay to say it's your birthday if your birthday wasn't today or if it wasn't last week or something like that. They're basically looking for an excuse to bring the gray stuff out. We were told that, and we came up with a really great, you know, celebration, and she, you know, he was more than happy to bring it out. But definitely something to do.
And I know that's the same, too, especially at Hollywood Studios, if you eat at the commissary or at the backlot tour. If it's your birthday or anniversary, they'll ask you to come over by a phone, and then they'll dial a phone number and... For example, Goofy was on the line and said happy birthday to you.
Oh,
that's cool. I did not know that. I'm going to write that one down.
They have Mickey and Minnie, so we'll wish you. They have pretty much one for every occasion. And it's usually, like at the back lot too, it's on the left hand side, but then they give you free cupcakes as well. So that's something
yes,
that's good.
Cupcakes.
Nice here. And same at Boma Restaurant, too. They made special desserts as well for anniversary and for birthday. So,
oh yeah, we also ate at Chef Mickey's as we described. That was the experience was outweighs the food. Food was okay, it was good, but you know, just you know, average traditional American food. But the experience itself was phenomenal.
Blue Martini was great. Friends, they say it's the glow tea. That was really good.
We ate at Tony's Town Square. It was good. The meatballs were really good. The spaghetti was just average, but the meatballs were really, really good. So we ate at our traditional Fulton's Crab House. We had a really kind of funny incident there. My mom was trying to open up a king crab leg. And I don't know if you've ever seen that scene from
Pretty Woman,
where the oyster goes flying.
That in the back of
so yeah, just remember that part. So mom's opening this big king crab leg, and a piece of crab just goes flying over my son's head and into the lady's hair sitting on the right behind the other table. So as we're gonna go try to explain this to her, she gets up and leaves. Like, okay, I guess we'll just have walk around with something like a book. But
the server was.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever laughed that hard in my life.
Oh my goodness.
That's fantastic.
You know she went to like these in the bathroom or back to her room later and was what's where in the world is he from?
At Magic Kingdom. My son actually found them when we were giving out the cars. The person that picks the people to be the grand marshal in the parade and stuff. So that was a neat experience in finding him. And I would have had no clue who it was if, you know, if you haven't had it, you know, and we were in a hurry so we didn't get the chance to talk to him, you know, very long and stuff. But you could definitely tell he was out there scouting the people for the grand marshals for the parade. Let's see, that was kind of a neat experience to see and know that it's not like you're a cast member that you would normally see out there that picks the people. So.
Yeah, we also had what I think it's Askershus, I guess how you pronounce it, the Norway Pavilion. We had breakfast there. I love breakfast food. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, it was funny. We like to kind of have fun with the characters too. And so, Tom and Xavier and I, we walked up to Belle and she's like, "Oh, happy anniversary." And we said, "Thank you." And we said, "So, how's your marriage going?" And she's like, "Oh, I just love the Beast." And, Tom's like, "Well, what happened to your marriage that you turned it back to the Beast?" And we said, "What'd you do?" She laughed and had really great answers. And with Rapunzel, we said, "What happened to your short brown hair?" And we kind of like to have fun stumping them and seeing, how well they know their, characters. So, for example, Xavier asked Ariel, how old is your daughter Melody, and what is she doing now, and just things like that. And so it's nice to see that they are well trained and know their characters quite well.
He was quizzing him.
Oh yeah.
Who is that was three princesses you mentioned. Who else was there?
We had at the Oscar booth it was Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Ariel, Belle and Cinderella, and then Rapunzel was over at the Princess Fairy Tale Hall.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I was gonna say that's kind of an odd princess, but
It's pretty amazing how well they do without breaking character.
Oh, and I know that they're definitely trained. Like I know when we were down there's a lady that was dressed as Fairy Godmother, and she wasn't happy because she said, "Oh, they told me I couldn't, take pictures and I couldn't sign any autographs." And a lot of people don't know. Well, they'll take sometimes 2 weeks of training just to learn how to sign their name. So whatever park you go in, they know exactly how to spell their name. And for example, they take dialect classes because, Mary Poppins and Alice in Wonderland are both from England, but their dialect is different. And so they actually have coaching classes on how to speak just like them. And so there's a lot more that goes into it that a lot of people, might not know about. So. Each princess has their own signature lipstick color as well. So if you get kissed on the hand and stuff, or put it on a piece of paper, you'll notice that each princess, their color is different.
Interesting.
Surprised they haven't marketed that yet.
Yeah, I'm surprised too, actually, because that was one of the things that that we were taught is that.
Well, they're starting to now, right? With Disney has its own makeup line, the Beautiful line. They do the villains, and they just released Tinkerbell.
I'm so happy I did not know that.
That's funny.
I just happened to know it because we were looking, me and when we were there, we had noticed it in one of the stores there that they had the makeup line. And let me tell you, it's not cheap.
No, it's not.
Is anything cheap there?
No.
The water.
It's not a toast press. Well, it is a piece of plastic that you push in the bread before you toast it to get the Mickey shape in the toast. After you toast it, that thing was like $7. It's just a little piece of plastic that you push in the bread before you toast it.
But it's got Mickey on it. It's the best darn toaster.
And you're on vacation, and aren't you worth it?
That's right.
That's right.
One fun thing that one of the times that we were down there for Wishes, Tinkerbell didn't make it across, so we saw her pulling herself.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that before.
She didn't make it across?
Oh, no.
She checked it across, but sometimes they get stuck, and so they have to use their arms and pull themselves.
And some will hold on her wand at the same time.
Yeah.
They need a...
That is hysterical.
On the tour in the park, they told us that she does have to do that until she gets over the buildings, I guess in Tomorrowland, and she starts working down Main Street. And then there'll be a little help. Someone throws her a line and they pull her down to the end.
Right. And otherwise, what we're told is a mattress pad that she falls on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we saw that. And sometimes they do come down pretty fast.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be guys up there to help her, but just in case.
Right, I think there's four. I think there's two to hold the mattress head up, and then there's one on the ground, too, for her to land on. Or him.
No, don't say that.
Don't say what? That. Don't you dare.
What?
Add that out.
Moving on. Okay, well, I tell you what. We've gone for over an hour in such time, and I think we're going to finish up, but before we do, what was the best souvenirs you guys took home, if any?
Oh, we got some. We definitely got some. We did get, as a family, got matching Tower of Terror t-shirts. I don't know if I can say that's the best souvenir, but it's one that, you know, we all got matching ones.
I like the little glow cubes that they had, and then we've got a whole lot of TV in the piece cup and stuff from the restaurant. Match our other one.
Mm-hmm. I have actually a glow cube.
I bought Croc sandals with little Mickeys on them.
No.
Not Donald's?
The nice sandal ones.
If they had Donald ones, trust me, I would have gotten the Donald ones. But
we know you would have.
I looked through the entire, everywhere I could find for a Donald Duck sweatshirt. Did not find a single one anywhere in Disney World, a Donald Duck sweatshirt.
Are you serious?
What?
Yeah, there's not a lot of Donald paraphernalia.
Tons of t-shirts and stuff like that, but not a single sweatshirt. They make an adult Tigger zip-up sweatshirt. Like, I don't know a single, I mean, but not a Donald Duck one. Are you kidding me?
Tom had a lot of people coming up asking him, even cast members, where did you get your hat?
I have a winter Donald Duck hat. It's basically Donald's butt on my head with his legs sticking out with, I mean, kind of like cartoon swearing, or it's like the ampersand, the pound sign, the exclamation point, all that going across the top. So.
Almost reminds you of like the PhilharMagic where his legs are sticking out
of the
like,
wall.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just think of that on top of your head.
That's something we're all coming up to him. Where did you get that? That's awesome.
People could call you Butthead all day long and you wouldn't be offended.
He said, everybody says it all started with a mouse, but they perfected it by a duck. And Donald Duck went crazy.
Aww.
So, one thing that we were kind of, that we were relieved about was that, you know, they had warned us about the traffic being bad with Michelle Obama being down there, and it didn't affect us at all and stuff. So that was one thing that was nice. And we had gotten down to Magic Kingdom.
Was she down there? Was she down there for a special occasion or the party or what?
Speak to veterans or something like that.
Yeah, there was a luncheon with the veterans. And I believe she had dinner with the Disney executives in the evening, but she was over at the Boardwalk Hotel. So it was nice.
You mean she didn't sleep in the castle?
Nope.
Thank God, because
then half of
the Magic Kingdom would have been closed.
Okay, well, it sounds like you guys had a great trip. Really happy it turned out.
Definitely, you know, as you were saying, back to the hotel experiences, definitely see the difference between a moderate and a deluxe resort. Not just in the feel of it, but the cast members as well. And how they treat you.
And the location of the bus stops.
Yes.
At the parks.
Well, Animal Kingdom is not always the greatest location. As far as buses go, like in Magic Kingdom, it's on the right hand side, second to last.
But it was all under construction as well. So that's something that's different. It's going to be moved eventually. Right now, all of the buses are going to be going under renovation, each park slowly. And what they're doing is they're going to have one side that is strictly going to all the resorts. And then they're going to have another side that you can take buses to. You know, downtown Disney, or you can take them to Epcot and all the other.
And basically, park to park transportation.
Oh, good.
So that would be one thing that's different. And we were given bus cards down there, and I didn't know, we hadn't heard of them before, but.
Like bus trading cards, yeah.
Bus trading cards, and apparently you can't buy them in the parks. And there's 26 of them, so you got a few bus ones and a couple of boat ones that we.
Didn't get any monorail ones.
So that's one thing. That's one new souvenir that we started collecting up. You can't buy them. So we go down there now, ask all the bus drivers, do you have any cards? And stuff. So. So yeah, that was one thing that was different that we did that we haven't done in the past. But it'll definitely be interesting, and it'd be nice to be able to have an extra option of getting to the parks from like from one park going to another park, realizing that people keep on top and not want to have to get onto one bus to go to a hotel and then go back to another.
I agree. That's going to help out a lot as far as planning goes. Okay, well, again, it sounds like you guys had a great trip. Happy you're back. Happy everybody's safe. And that's going to be it for us for this week. This has been show number 10. And if you have a chance, I'd like you to go stop by my blog, the Maz Disney blog, .blogspot.com. I'm starting to try to get back into the blogging spirit again with 7 posts for 7 days. We're up to day 4 now, so you can check that out. If you could also, we do run another podcast. I run one with my kids. It's called the We're Going to Walt Disney World podcast. And you can find that on iTunes and on Podbean.
And this is Jimmy. If you're interested in maybe getting a quote to go down to Disney or Disney Cruise or Disneyland or to book a trip, contact me or my wife Kim at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com. Or you can also find us on Facebook or give us a call at 504-304-4904. And please leave us a message.
And hey, guys, this is Farrah. I just want to give a shout-out to all our followers and friends out on Facebook. Keep all the great comments and picture posts coming. Also, make sure you're sending us questions. And we're really looking to get some great topics, some great tips. Anything you want us to shout out to you in our podcast, go ahead and send it out to us.
This is Christina. Thanks for joining in and listening on our vacation. If you have any other suggestions, feel free to contact us on the Disney Nerds Facebook page. Feel free to join us in on the photos of Where Are We? And see if you can guess some of the photos that we're going to post up.
And hey guys, this is Tom. Also, if you want to email us with any questions, comments, or if you want to join the podcast at some point.
Very good. So we'll see everybody later. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Kangaroos.
This magic night, a million stars will play beside us, cast a spell of light. Glimmering, shimmering, carouseling round the world tonight. A symphony in spectral magic, pure enchantment lights our way.
And spectral magic.